Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. Apparently, some of us have survived this past weekend. Heat, rain, storms, whatever. It seems to me that most people don't understand. As a matter of fact, I talked to a lot of people in different parts of the country, and everywhere in the country, whether it be Atlanta, Georgia, whether it be Seattle, whether it be Detroit, whether it be Baltimore, I mean, everybody believes their city is the most corrupt. And I'm telling you, those cities that I just mentioned are very corrupt, especially if you look at how the political leaders are literally violating the Constitution and the people are not holding them accountable. Supposedly, we have a self-government system, but we have a Constitution that creates barriers from the leaders, both at the federal, state, and local levels, from being able to pass oppressive laws. Remember, the 14th Amendment, Section 1, does apply those individual privileges and immunities upon states and local governments. So, anyway, I've already started off on this little tangent, and I'll get into that because actually that has a lot to do with George Washington's advice regarding parties and how factions can create corruption and nothing but problems. So, let me also state that this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, 1798Part2.org, and RepublicReview.org. You are listening to the only show on the air, whether that be TV, whether that be radio, whether that be any form of medium, even over the internet. This is the only show. And by the way, if you happen to have a tangible solution that's coming off of some other show, I'd love to hear about it because maybe it's better than mine and I can retire. Because bottom line, this is precisely what Jefferson and Madison prescribed, and this is exactly what they did is what I'm talking about. And that is our only process in getting the federal government back into compliance, period. If, like I said, if you've got any academic proof or even if you've got a theory that's coming from somebody else. I mean, I look all the time at the hosts that are out there. There's all sorts of great entertainers, but not one has a tangible solution to force the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. And by the way, oh, it is the constitutional solution. A lot of people will tell you, oh, well, that's the Convention of States. No, it's not. The Convention of States has one process and one process only, and that is to change the Constitution. It is not enforcing and enforcing compliance. That's all it is. And what are extra words to a Constitution? You can put extra words in a Constitution, but that will not mean that the federal government will honor those or even abide by those if they're not already abiding by the current Constitution already. So that's why there is no other show. That's why I hate to say it, and I owe you the greatest gratitude because that's why this show is growing. I know I don't have a lot of callers because, I don't know, maybe people are just intimidated. I'm just literally a regular Joe, and so I just, honestly, but I go by GR, I don't go by Joe. But I'm literally, I acknowledge the fact that there are a lot of people that don't like calling. They don't want to either sound stupid. But you know what they've always said in school? The stupid question is the one not asked. And so if you don't understand, if you've got a question, by all means, feel free to call in. That number to call in, and the lines are open, is 215-867-8255. Let me also say that this is the last week that we can support those who have been committed to serving and saving our Constitution. And that doesn't mean that they're just committed to serving their constituents in their state or county or what have you. They're committed to saving all of us from federal tyranny. So that's why they're stepping in, and that's why this show is committed to them. So I would ask that you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, go to the candidate endorsement page, and please send some contributions. These candidates need financial support. to get over this little last hump to get across that finish line. And radio ads are probably the most effective in the last couple of weeks. And so that's why I'm begging and pleading that everybody might be able to, you know, contribute. If everybody contributed, and I'm not asking for people to write thousands of dollars or even hundreds of dollars, I'm merely asking that if you can throw $2 at a candidate and we get every tens of thousands of people that are listening to the show currently, if everybody sent $2, just add the zeros behind that, that's the kind of money that these folks would be getting to actually win. This would guarantee that the conversation of calling out the federal government, calling for the audit of the Constitution, and forcing the federal government back into compliance of the Constitution, I mean, what is that worth to you? I go through all sorts of marketing, and we're going to talk about some marketing today, and we're going to actually be bringing on some guests that I'm going to talk about down the road in the very near future. As a matter of fact, I'm doing some interviews tonight and tomorrow night, and they will be a part of this show, and it's going to blow you away, and you're going to go, oh my gosh, we can't let that happen here, because that's what's going to continue to happen in the global environment, or I should say in the global world, what the globalists are trying to drive us into in a single currency and a single government. And bottom line, it's going to be a single religion. It'll be some homogeny of, I don't know what, I know that it'll just be, it'll be just some perverse religion that will have no resemblance of anything that you're practicing currently. I have failed, and I'll be the first one to tell you I failed. And so those people who are waiting to crowdfund me, you can fire me, but I'm still working on it. And as soon as I have that information into GoFundMe, that campaign will start. It's going to be an indefinite campaign. We just need to get this going. And I understand I do need to start really bringing up awareness for, hopefully, because this primary is the real big hurdle for me for this year. The next hurdle that I have starts next year in trying to get out to Kansas, trying to get out to the Dakotas, hopefully in the middle of winter when nobody else is going anywhere. Actually, I think everybody in the Dakotas will probably try to be flying south or going to Hawaii or someplace like that for the first few months. But those few people that can't get away are those state legislators who are in session that have to do their work. And so hopefully I can get in and actually speak to and work with all those good state legislators in these red states. So anyway, that's what the campaign is going to be hopefully driving. And of course, as you know, every day I'm on the show, I'm groveling. I need support. I need help. Washington could not fight the British on his own, nor can I fight the federal government into complying to the Constitution on my own. What does that mean? Yep, I do need your help. And I humbly request that you consider, if you've got time, you've got a computer, you've got a phone, you have some forms of resources, and you live in a state in this republic, you can help. So by all means, please just reach out to me, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, and you will be brought on as a part of this big growing team. And I appreciate that for those who've already joined and for those who are jumping on the bandwagon now. That being said, I have not had a chance, and actually everybody is really in the throw, and I get the long stretch, but I will say this, in the governor race that I talked about on Friday, the only governor that is committed to supporting the Constitution, period, at this point in time, is Taylor Haynes. I've reached out to these other camps. They're dragging their feet. They're claiming they're too busy. And let me get you to think about this. I'm asking them to step up and save the Constitution. A leader that is looking to be the executive of the law or the government in a state should take pause and say, what are you talking about? Saving the Constitution? Let me know more about this. And as a matter of fact, I've had the verbal conversation with each of those candidates that have already been on the show. Everybody else has basically done a wave, and I believe that they understand what they're waving to because they are not constitutionally minded, nor do they care. They just look about supporting whatever agenda that they need to promote and purport and or support, because that's all they are. They're managers and they're not leaders. So Taylor Haynes is the only leader, and those four legislative candidates on the candidate endorsement page, those are the ones you want to throw money to and support. And I'm not, again, I'm not talking about a lot of money. Half a gallon of gas, what is that? Give them a half a gallon of gas this week. You know what? Tip them. Give them a whole gallon. Give them $4. I mean, really, 1 week, one shot. Once they win this, they are in. It is solid. And so before we go into hard break, let me just say this. I have looked at the news, and there is no sign, there is no evidence that the federal government has any plans in disbanding any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. So what does that mean? Yes, again, that means you and I, we're going to have to do this. That's why I need your help. That's why this can't be done by just a single microphone, by just one single energy form, one life form. It really does require, and I do have to send my thanks out to the Constitution Association and all of those groups out there that have been supporting me and actually giving me endorsements and so forth. And so with that, as we can tell, there is Copeland's music, Fanfare for the Common Man, coming in, and that means that we're at heartbreak. So let me take 2 minutes here, and I will be right back, and we're going to get into some quick news, and I want to give you some information on some horrible, just terrible things that are going on that we need to get engaged in, and we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer 5 people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my 3 C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And so that dialogue being that, as you know, Strzok's been fired. I can't believe that they're not prosecuting him and the rest of these folks. I believe they've all had to take oaths and swearing to uphold the Constitution. And so I don't know, we'll have to wait, but there's, you know, you're not just cleaning out the swamp if you're only firing people and then they can be picked up by somebody else to be able to do bad, culpable things because they have inside knowledge and because they know who the other players are. These guys should be exploited and prosecuted. And I literally mean exploited because they need to be worked over whatever that means, send them out of country. But the bottom line is they know other people that are bad players. And so I would get them to start making deals and start finding out. But these are the top. I mean, if the top has these kind of bad players, there's no way the bottom does not have even twice as many, if not a lot more bad players. But anyway, I also noticed that Trump has come out and said he's going to boost active duty pay. Well, I'm going to tell you right now that the active duty pay since I've retired from the Marine Corps has been boosted several times, but not once has the retirees been able to keep up with the cost of living. There's always been this manipulation in the data to keep the COLAs amount, because why? The government saves money in stiffing the retirees and those people on Social Security and so forth. The one thing that is constitutional is actually paying the retirees, those who came in a labor agreement contract, to be able to make half their base salary. And so if you understand the base salary, it constantly goes up along with cost of living. So if you understand that even though the cost of gas has gone up instrumentally, cost of food, everything has gone up, and I have yet to see a pay raise, I know that there's a lot of retirees that are hurting. It's not about me. This is about a lot of people who were willing to put their life on the line. And even though they didn't make that ultimate sacrifice, they were there willing and ready. And this is what we're doing. I can't say anything. I mean, I don't know where the active duty pay is in regards to the current pay scale with the private sector and so forth, but I do know the retirees are basically fighting over crumbs, and it is a sad day when you see so many of them that are losing their housing and just having a hard time getting by for the service that they provided. So I think that there has to be an appeal to Trump to say, hey, why are you continually, I mean, it's one thing to maybe fix, and I don't even think the Veterans Administration is fixed, don't think it can be fixed, but at least he's kind of trying. But the pay is what people bring home. That is what puts eggs in the refrigerator. That's what helps, you know, pay for the heat in the wintertime, helps them get by. And so it would be nice to see that some of that is actually trickling out and actually fixing either the COLA or making a big adjustment. Well, and you can do this rather easily. You can basically say, okay, out of each year, based on inflation and currency manipulation and everything else, the US dollar today is worth this much of what it used to be. And then you can figure out, okay, 10 years ago was worth this much. So this is how we need to adjust, just based on the cost of living and based on the value of the dollar. Anyway, I know a lot of people are talking about Omarosa, and they're playing all of this, you know, whether that's bad or, ooh, this is, you know, gossip and so forth. I'm just going to give you my position. As I look at her attire and as I look at her actions, here she's writing a book and she's trying to get out there like she's driving down this superhighway of the high road. You know, she's just flying along and she's on the high road, but her attire doesn't speak to being somebody on the high road, and her actions don't speak to somebody that has been on the high road. I just have a real problem how, you know, other than the fact that she is being baited and played by the left, and they will use her until they're done with her. She'll get her 15 minutes of fame and that's it. So the one thing I wanted to talk about, and I got a few minutes to talk about this, but I thought that I want to give you a perspective. Imagine that you need a kidney. How would you like the idea, or a liver, or some other vital organ? How would you like to be able to just get on a plane and fly somewhere and be able to, at a reasonable, I mean, if you have the affluence and you had the money, you could literally get that organ almost guaranteed tomorrow. How would that sound? That sounds like almost Orwellian, doesn't it? Well, if you haven't heard, and a lot of people have heard this, especially those who are really attuned to the alternate news, but if you've been watching regular news, there's a good chance you haven't heard that there is this country out there that is doing live organ harvesting. Now, what does that mean? Well, let me explain it to you. In China, They have, over the past, 20 years, about 20 years, they have created a political prisoner class. And the political prisoner class is I'll call it a religious ideological class. And I'm actually going to have, I think I mentioned this last week, Mitchell Gerber on. I forget his last name, Mitchell Nicholas Gerber, I think, but he has a handle of Lionheart, and he's been involved in kind of exposing this both around the world, and he's reached out to me and said, hey, I want to talk to you about this, and so we're working out this tomorrow, and so through the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be playing segments of this interview with him. But I want to give you the kind of a front end of why this is really important. This prisoner class that they have in China happens to be well over 300 million. I mean, I think the initial estimate was around 100 million that I heard. But based on current estimates, and I'll find out from Mitchell what the actual estimates are in a prisoner class, but what they've done, because these people are a real threat because they actually support individual liberty and individual sovereignty. They kind of have the same ideals as those Chinese that rose up during Tiananmen Square. Do you remember that? Well, so they have like 300 million prisoners out there in different reaches of China. It's a good-sized country. And so they're kind of distributed all around China. And what they have done with these prisoners over the past several years, and for the several years in the past, they have been harvesting. But what they've done is they've taken a flesh sample, they've taken blood samples and DNA and all those types of things to create a database for organ matching. And so they have these prisoners living in these prisoner camps, and they're all cataloged. And so all you have to do is get on a plane and fly to one of China's elite hospitals, and you'll just check in, and they'll tell you, you have the doctor's notes and all of that stuff. And that way they can actually match you to, I'll call it an involuntary donor. Because this donor is being voluntold that they're going to die and they're going to give you their organs. Because what happens is once they match you with an actual donor, and I think you can even work this out beforehand, but there's a high likelihood out of the 300 million living people that they will be able to find a good match for your kidney, for your liver. And it's a lot better than what you got here waiting in a line. And so then they'll go and basically grab that person out of the population, and they'll haul him off to his donation center, where that person will donate, he or she will donate what they've got, and then they will be burned, and that will be it. And so there, I thought about this, and I had a conversation with somebody regarding this very specific topic, and this person was very attuned to abortion. And he was kind of saying, well, abortion is still the greatest scourge on the land. And I go, yeah, I agree. As a culture, we have a real problem when women are making those types of decisions. However, it's a lot different when a person makes their own decision to do that than when the state basically dictates that we're going to create this prisoner class, especially a state that has about a billion people or what have you. And so it actually helps, you know, their population control and so forth. However, there's nobody else talking about this. There's not a lot of countries, and I can't understand why this doesn't become, because I know Trump, there's no doubt in my mind, Trump is going into this trade war with China. And here he has, this is a fulcrum that he can use for leverage to say, are you kidding me, China? You're literally selling off your organs to the world of live people because they're political prisoners? Let those people go. This is insane. And this is to the tune, I believe it's 60,000 transplants a year. So in other words, 60,000 people a year are being killed so that people, the elitists, can go and go get their kidneys and their organ matches and be able to continue living their life of debauchery. I remember when David Crosby, who lived a life of riotousness, was basically given his death sentence because he destroyed his liver from drinking, drugs, and everything else. And so instantly he was able to fly somewhere and get a match on a donor. And that was a while ago, but that could have been in China. But my point is that I do not believe society owes you an organ or any type of support like that if you have actually self-induced the damage to your own body like he did. I'm sorry. I think that people that have drinking problems and smoking problems, you get cancer, you have problems because of your behavior, I don't think you're qualified for public and or any type of medical assistance. It's almost like driving a car and not having a seatbelt on and then claiming that you get all the damages. I'll be right back. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's, and if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Yes, they are. But as I was going into the break, I was kind of ranting about the fact that we're providing health care to people that I think everybody deserves health care for the viruses and those traumas and those types of things. But I do not believe a person is necessarily entitled to have everybody pay for the damages that are done to them. I think that should be really a compassionate thing. I mean, if you really believe that, you know, you need to help somebody and you have the bandwidth in your budget to help somebody, but it's another thing for a health insurance company to take on that compassion by taking money from everybody else and raising prices on everybody and so forth. I believe, because I kind of get into these doctrines of Christianity, I think that being compelled is not compassion. And so when you look at the difference between a, you know, health company and or a health insurance company and or the state, when they force you to be having to pay for things, I remember it just really upset me that in the company I was working for before I retired, they were literally taking money from the entire populace so that they could pay for the gender reassignments and those types of things. And I'm going, you've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. we all have to pay for that. I believe that, I think this is where it comes down to the fact that there's a lot of people that are not compassionate of allowing somebody to revel in their, you know, their riotous life, their debauchery, whatever you want to call it. And having people pay for that out of their hard work and against their morals and against their conscience, that I don't believe is the American way. I just can't see the framers that, yeah, that's what we want to put on this path here for you, that you're all going to be kind of forced into this. So anyway, the reason I'm taking this on, because if you haven't noticed in the past, I actually had Aaron Tilbury of the Jonah Project, and he is fighting the sex slave trade and the operations in the United States, at least up in the Pacific Northwest area. And he's working with a lot of people around the nation in trying to get kids and women and, you know, people out of the sex slave trade. It is a huge industry, and Trump is also disclosing all of this. And this is another thing that you won't be getting in the mainstream media. But the reason I was on board with supporting those folks as well as these folks is here is because it's about individual liberty, my friends. These folks have been robbed of their individual liberty to be able to express their religious conscience in China. And they've become political prisoners because of their religion. And their life now is to wait in case somebody needs their organs. And if not, they'll just rot in prison until, you know, till they don't live anymore. Then their data will be removed from the database and maybe somebody else will come along or what have you. But I can honestly see that this is not really a money-making industry, even though, yes, China is making money out of this. It is not something that they're trying to make as a lucrative. What they are doing is they're making affluence, because the elite loves the ability to live life without consequences. Now, it really doesn't matter. You have a great opportunity to be able to replace any organs that you've got and be able to continue living the life that you've got. And that is wrong. So anyway, the other thing I wanted to talk about, because I'm going to be having individuals, they have handles, or they have a show name. I go by GR, and so if you've not tuned into and you've not looked into this thing called Patriot Soapbox, Patriot Soapbox actually has quite a few what do you want to call them, subscribers? Yeah, that's not followers, but subscribers on YouTube. And they actually have a lot of information. As a matter of fact, when I go in there, I've told them that they need to start, you know, doing the analysis and extrapolating and providing kind of a summary level so that anybody can just tune in. Because if you go to, and I'll just ask you to go check out Patriot Soapbox whenever you've got a chance, because they're always 24/7. They are live. They're looking at the news, what's going on, and so forth. And it can be overwhelming. There's all these chats going on. And if you're, I'll forgive me for saying this, but if you're kind of geeky, you may really love this. And I will even give you this. If you go to my Reclaiming the Republic Red State Talk Radio podcast page, at the very bottom of my podcast that I've got posted up there, I forget what the last day was that I've got posted. I probably need to get one or two up there, but anyway, if you go at the just below the podcast, you'll notice that I have a dashboard for sealed indictments. That there information I got from Patriot Soapbox. And so there's a lot of information. They talk about these live organ harvestings in China. They talk about a lot of things, the sex slave trade, the pedophilia that's going rampant, the debauchery and the evilness throughout the world. There's really nothing that they're not covering, and a lot of it, I will say almost all of it is substantiated. I mean, there are little things that'll blip up that may become, you know, but that even happens on your local news where they chase something that isn't really there. And so they're providing an alternate news source that is literally unfiltered. And so it's not like it's, you know, pornographic unfiltered. It is just a lot of information. So when you're looking at it, you're probably going to be chasing three stories at once. And I know a lot of people have talked to me when the news format started changing, when they started having the tickers of what's going on with the stocks and little banners on the sides and bars and so forth. You know, there's just so much information that you were either reading or you were listening to the segment, because a lot of people had a hard time being able to multitask with all that information. You'll feel the same way, because there's not a lot of filtering, and so you can get caught up in the chats and or in the dialogue and so forth. So I'm going to be having, I believe the first person I'll have on is one of the, I'll call him a key player. His name is Thumper, and he will probably be coming in and talking. But what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get them to give me a 5-minute or a 3-minute clip of the high level. Well, this is what's going on if you tune into Patriot Soapbox today and this week. Boom, boom, boom. These are the stories that are tracking. This is the information that's come in. They're going to talk to you about QAnon and who QAnon is and what QAnon does. And you will get a lot more information on all of that type of stuff, where people are getting attuned to following things that are not being followed by the mainstream media. That even includes Fox News. And you might actually hear about it on maybe CRTV or what have you. I don't tune into that, so I couldn't tell you. But I can tell you that Patriot Soapbox has a lot going on. So if you want to check that out, they're going to be coming on. And like I said, my target for them is to give me a 3 to 5 minute clip that I can play either once a week, twice a week, or what have you. And we'll grow this as they get better in providing, analyzing, summarizing, and providing data. We will start growing that. And so I just want to let you know that that's forthcoming. And I think you're going to find this fascinating. And by all means, I want you to go out and check that information out and tell me if you think that's geeky or if it's, you know, overboard, whatever you think. But anyway, let me move on. Yes, last week I was also talking about this concept of white nationalism and this new organization. It's called, it's like Identity Politics or Identity what have you, but their focus is really trying to preserve an identity that is being, and I'll use this, you know, pun as well as quotes, whitewashed, because we are literally whitewashing the true history and our true heritage out of America. There has been a huge decades-long play in our education system that has been anti-white, anti-founders, anti-constitution. We have an anti-government, anti-Christian education system. And what I mean by government, an anti-constitutional government. They're pro-democracy. They want people to be able to vote for what they want because they know they've been able to manipulate people into this position of wanting free health care and wanting free everything. What happens if you're in the tomato market, and you'll get this because it's about supply and demand, right? You're in the tomato market and you're the only guy growing tomatoes. Well, guess what? You're living large because you can set the price on tomatoes. However, if everybody in the neighborhood are growing their own tomatoes, then guess what? You either better love tomatoes and eat them yourself, or you're going to have a hard time selling them. Or you have to buy people out, mergers and acquisitions. I mean, the supply and demand is a huge driver in our economics. And that's the same thing here. That is basically the exact same thing. And the education system has had a monopoly on the supply and the demand. They've been playing this with the mainstream media, as well as the entertainment industry, so forth and so on. So I think that this is worth actually getting into, because, and I'm not even going to have time to close what I really want to say on this, because here we are right now again at another hard break. And so I will have to close on what I'm really trying to talk about. And I want to get some clarity, so I'm going to be diving into this, like I said last week. And I will give you a little bit more on this as soon as we get back from the hard break. And then we're going to talk to George Washington about the parties. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Yes, and so what I was talking about in this white nationalism, or supposedly this movement, because there was this Unite the Right. Now, I know that there are a lot. It's a galumphry or an amalgamation of a lot of different movements, this Unite the Right. It is not a single movement. There are definitely leftists that are a part of this, as well as there are conservatives that are a part of this as well. And I've talked, and I believe James Alsup and Patrick Casey are leaders on the conservative side that are looking to try to preserve the truth about America. And in some cases, I don't think they know all of the truth, because these guys are still kind of young. It took me years to going through source documents to getting to what the truth is. And I can tell you that the progressives and everybody that's on the left are trying to obfuscate the truth, and they're trying to hide from the truth. I will actually tell you that there is empirical evidence that this was a Christian nation, not necessarily a theology, but every state was basically a theology. It wasn't theocratic, but they did have a state religion and state taxes, and the church had a very role in providing compassionate services and so forth. Every single state had that, even though a lot of states, and if you've listened to the show, you know that many of the states started this concept of tolerance. Some states weren't very tolerant. Virginia was not a very tolerant state, and Massachusetts, they sure weren't tolerant, because they actually kicked people out if you started teaching anything that went against the Puritan concepts. But the important thing is, if go read the definition of white nationalism, and it is all over the map. It is not really well defined, because it could be this, it could be this. It speaks to some of the people are talking white genocide. Some people are talking, actual white, separation, getting rid of people and that type of stuff, like Hitler. I mean, it is a very broad spectrum when you start talking about this. The problem is that every, if you're going to have racial protection and or racial interest, whether that be the NAACP, La Raza, and all the rest of these organizations, then it would be it makes no sense for those organizations to have a legitimate interest in trying to protect and promoting themselves, as well as having somebody for the, if you want to call it white, or the historical preservation of America. The, you know, I guess we'll just call it white for the sake of argument at this point. This show is not trying to perpetrate and or even support white separatism. As a matter of fact, I will tell you that the truth in our founding documents is that it does not matter by race, creed, color, culture, or anything other than whether you're a supporter of individual liberty. There are those in certain religions that do not support individual liberty. And there are two very specific religions that we have here in America that are the antithesis of what our founding documents and what our heritage is about. And they're trying to destroy our Constitution and our Republic, both of these religions. And if you've listened to the show, you know exactly who I'm talking about. So let me move on, because this kind of goes down to party lines as well. Because these, whether they be religious factions, whether they be racial, cultural factions, whether they be gender factions, whether they be orientation factions, I mean, you can go down a whole gamut of every type of demographic out there to try to create a faction for people. But this is what Washington said. And before I get into this, as I like to always say, as I read these words of George Washington, are these words the lies of deceit, and or are the words that we've learned from our professors, and are the words that we've learned from our colleges and academia, our politicians, our lawyers, the mainstream media, all of these influences we have in our life today, are the words that they're telling us the words of lies and deceits? Because I have a hard time thinking that Washington was lying. Anyway, in paragraph 22, Washington, and this is in his farewell address, he says, "The alternate domination of one faction over another, sharpened by the spirit of revenge, natural to party dissension, which in different ages and countries has perpetuated the most horrid enormities, is itself a frightful despotism. But this leads as a length to a more formal and permanent despotism. The disorders and miseries which result gradually incline the minds of men to seek security and response in the absolute power of an individual, and sooner or later, the chief of some prevailing faction, more fortunate than his competitors, turns this disposition to the purpose of his own elevation on the ruins of public liberty." Obama was a great case in that. Here he was voted in as the first Black American president, and all he did was divide, and he divided us more than any other president in the racial boundaries and in factions and so forth. And so he was very despotic, and as a matter of fact, he even hurt. If you look at what Trump has been doing in actually targeting and opening up these entry-level jobs and all sorts of opportunities in the economy, he's done more for Blacks than Obama ever did. All Obama did was he used tyranny and despotism to going after people and creating division. He used all sorts of unconstitutional power. His edict by the National Education, or the Department of Education, I should say, that started mandating transgender bathrooms in schools, they don't have that authority. That's the same thing as the Pope telling you you have to do the same thing. The Pope doesn't have any authority over the education system. The federal government has no constitutional power over the education system and to dictate those types of things. It's not in the Constitution. They can't meddle with it, per George Nicholas. And Madison said the jurisdiction was limited based on only the enumerated powers. So, in other words, they had no jurisdiction over those things. And he was constantly overstepping the constitutional boundaries. Okay, so in paragraph 23, George also says, "Without looking forward to an extremity of this kind, which nevertheless ought to be entirely out of sight, The common and continual mischiefs of the spirit of party are sufficient to make it the interest and duty of a wise people to discourage and restrain it. It serves. Now, over a week ago, I spoke almost all week about the importance of understanding two ideologies. These are religious and political ideologies that have formed, and they've been out there since the very beginning. America was a nation that was founded on the liberal, or I should say, the on the scale of liberty, they were on the liberty side. Remember, I talk about the scale of liberty. On the far end is the extreme end of opposite of liberty is subjugation and slavery. And so America was a nation that was founded on individual liberty. There were 10 of the states that wanted to abolish slavery when they wrote the Constitution. 3 states kept them from doing that. And so it was a political disaster and a political compromise that Mason spoke very loudly against, and a lot of the framers, even Madison, spoke out against it. But nonetheless, they made a political compromise to say, okay, we will leave this to the state issue. However, these factions grew in trying to support slavery, and they created an unconstitutional law called the Missouri Compromise, because slavery would have been capped at those few states that had maintained it, which was the Carolinas and Georgia. And you would have found that all of these new states that would have came into the Union would not have been slave states. And you would have found that the slave states would have died off. That was the calculation. Madison never thought that the Missouri Compromise would actually have undermined what their intent was on the 3/5 rule, because they knew that over time, the South would lose with the cutting off of the slave trade, the importing of slaves and so forth in 1808. They knew that they would win this battle through attrition, because as America continued to grow with immigrations and so forth, that more and more people would be abhorrent with the concepts of slavery and its practices, and that they would eventually be able to get rid of it through the popular forum, or I should say, through the court of popular opinion. How about that? Anyway, let me go on. He says in paragraph 24, it serves always to distract the public factions. Now, he's talking about parties and factions. It serves always to distract the public councils and enfeeble the public administration. It agitates the community with ill-founded jealousies and false alarms, kindles the animosity of one part against another, foments occasionally riot and insurrection. It opens the door to foreign influence and corruption, which always finds a facilitated access to the government itself through the channels of party passions. Thus, the policy and the will of one country are subjected to the policy and will of another, through using the parties and their influence, because, hey, as long as somebody's paying, we're going to take that money, because Obama and even Bernie Sanders was getting money from all sorts of donors from around the world, and even Hillary. I mean, there are lots of people that are willing to pay to move America away from its constitutional founding. Anyway, I'm out of time, and I will be back tomorrow. There are some really good tidbits of wisdom that I still have to go through, and both of them are party and then amending the Constitution. I'm G.R. Mobley. I'm reclaiming the Republic, but I need your help. So please keep tuning in and learning how you can help. Thank you so much. Bye now. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.